Which of the two is the easiest to do, trust or obey? It's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? But the Lord does. He wants us to trust Him. Call unto me in the day of trouble, the Lord said through the psalmist, and I will be with you. Call unto me in the day of trouble. I would like you to start by turning to John 10:10. John chapter 10, verse 10. We are going to be considering the church in Smyrna, one of the seven churches to whom the Apostle John wrote, giving the words of the Lord Jesus. The church in Smyrna has been called the suffering church. And we're going to see what's all involved in the suffering. Many Christians are called upon to suffer for the sake of Christ, and some are even called upon to be martyred for the sake of Christ. John chapter 10, please don't forget these words when you hear of persecution and martyrdom and murder in the name of religion. Please don't forget this verse. John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy." There he was referring to Satan. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Of course, by way of contrast, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." I will never forget, and probably you will not either, the time in spring of 2015 when Egyptian Christians knelt before the ISIS terrorists and were killed in Libya. I cannot get this picture out of my head. It was awful. It was atrocious. And the world community basically stayed quiet. Oh, there were some. It was atrocious. Some 15 men knelt down and then were beheaded in the name of Islam and their God, who is not our God. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. Don't ever forget that. Very important. I will never forget this picture. It just has stayed in my mind and thinking of the injustice that happens in our world when people are persecuted for the Lord Jesus Christ. The word persecute means to cause to suffer because of one's belief. Not just to cause somebody to suffer, but to cause them to suffer, to experience pain and improper and cruel treatment, unjust treatment, because of what a person believes. And certainly that has happened in the church, the body of Christ. In Revelation chapter 2, we have the Lord Jesus Christ talking to the church in Smyrna, which is called the suffering church. Now, you know, it wasn't that many years ago that our culture viewed Christian principles and biblical morality in somewhat of indifference and skepticism. But this has changed. Christian principles and biblical morality has shifted from indifference and skepticism to outright hostility and opposition right here in America. Martin Luther once said, "The Christians should not be startled by persecution, but strengthened by it." I thought it was interesting that Don chose some songs this morning. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." And I'm looking at this subject during this week and I'm saying, this is really interesting. Because the Lord says, for those who are persecuted for His name's sake, they become stronger. Isn't that interesting? And He says, blessed are those who are persecuted. You know, we flip this thing over. Jesus said, blessed are those who are beheaded for me. Blessed are those who are mocked because of me. Blessed are those who experience hurt and pain and suffering because of me. And I'm saying, wow, this would be a good way to bring people to Jesus, wouldn't it? It's not how we do it today, is it? We use the health and wealth gospel. If you come to Jesus, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Oh, no, that's going to bed earlier. That's right, I forgot. But sometimes this is communicated. When we come to Jesus Christ, what's the first reason we come to Jesus? We come to Jesus because We want forgiveness of our sin and the gift of eternal life. Martin Luther said, Christians should not be startled by persecution, but they should be strengthened by it. And we need to remember that the church of Jesus Christ began in persecution. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Todd Starnes, some of you have heard of him. He is the host of Fox News Commentary. And he wrote a book called God Less America. Now remember I said, and I made a big statement here, and I know it was big and I know it was hard. I made a big statement that our country is on the slide morally, spiritually, and economically, educationally. It's on the slide. It really is. He wrote this book entitled God Less America, not God Bless America, God Less America. And he has all these stories of how Christians have been persecuted and maligned because of their faith and trust in the Lord and for their desire to support the Word of God and to support things which protect our children. And you know there are things out there in society today that have been approved by our government which really do not protect our children as we would like to see them protected. Now, I realize it's the responsibility of parents to protect their children, but when our government goes and passes laws that support immoral things, it makes it very hard for parents to encourage their children to live to please God. A North Carolina pastor was fired from his duties as an honorary chaplain from the state of House Representatives after praying in the name of Jesus. Now, was that fair? You know, was that really fair? For praying in the name of Jesus? A senior citizen center in Port Wentworth, Georgia, told elderly guests that they could no longer in the room pray over their meal. A federal judge ordered a Texas school district to prohibit public prayer at the Medina Valley Independent School District at the graduation ceremony. Now, one thing I like, I'm from the North, by the way. You can tell by my accent, I'm a Yankee. When I came to Texas and heard prayer before football games, I'm saying, man, we don't do that up north, okay? I was impressed. I really was. But you see, it's becoming illegal, according to certain school districts, for people to pray, for students, student-led prayer before a game. And look, let's get reasonable here. What's wrong with some students praying like this? Lord, thank you for our school. Thank you for our teachers. And we pray for our athletes as they're out on the field. You would bless them, protect them, and bless us all who are here tonight and send us home. In Jesus' name, amen. Is there something wrong with that prayer? No. You see where we have slid. Here's another one. A New York public school teacher was ordered to remove inspirational Bible verses from her classroom. And also, she was told she had to take down a quote from former President Ronald Reagan. The quote is very ironic. Ronald Reagan said, and she had to take it down. She had to take it down. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. It's quite a statement. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says this. The Apostle Peter says, the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So the Apostle Peter is saying to Christians who were experiencing persecution, he was saying to them, and this wasn't just to the church at Smyrna, although it was probably in existence at that time, but he was saying, not only are you being persecuted, those to whom Peter ministered to, not only are you being persecuted, but Christians around the world are being persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. You will notice in this one chapter, in this short account that we're looking at, the letter to the church in Smyrna, Jesus said, wow, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, so that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation or persecution 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Jesus is saying to the people in this local church, it was an actual local church. Jack Hughes has been there when he was serving in the military. He told me he was for a while in Smyrna. And I said, did you visit any of the other seven churches? One other one, Ephesus. He visited one other. I just thought that was interesting. But anyway, Jesus said, the devil is going to throw some of you into prison. I will admit to you, it's very difficult for us to understand why the Lord allows Satan to do certain things. But you know, rather than struggle with that, I'm going to look at the fact that he did allow it. And some of the believers in Smyrna were thrown into prison. By the way, there are some who feel that it was a longer period of time. Many people who write on this passage of Scripture say it was actually a short period of time. It was only 10 days for that church. Only 10 days for that church, specific church. But the history of the Church of Jesus Christ since its beginning, recorded in the book of Acts, has been one of persecution and martyrdom. It began with Nero in A.D. 64, and then continued all the way up until 305 A.D., and continues today. There are many people who are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. Now remember, when we're talking about Jesus Christ, we're talking about the one who left the glories of heaven and came to earth here for you and for me. He lived that sinless life, and then he went to the cross, and he suffered and died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. And we, through our faith in Jesus, please don't miss this, two things. When you ask Jesus to be your Savior, two things. Number one, you receive forgiveness of all sin. Any sin you've ever committed was paid for by Jesus on the cross. Forgiveness of sin, and you receive the gift of eternal life. So the Lord promises to take you to heaven someday when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. So he's the Lord of life. And there are those, you see, who are opposed to this message. There are those who say, well, everybody's going to heaven. That's not true. Then there are those who say certain religions take people to heaven. That's not true. Only Jesus, who left heaven and came here for you and me, he's the one who died and paid the price for our sins. Now, believers again today are being persecuted in Muslim countries and other countries around the world because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, for many years, churches in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe were very oppressed by their atheistic communist governments. You see, it's hard for us to identify with living in a country where the Bible is totally outlawed and there are very few or no churches at all. Some communist countries, this was true. However, after the Iron Curtain was lifted, it was revealed that those small churches that were there were very powerful, and they had genuine faith in Christ, and they had deep spirituality, and they had a love of the truth, and they were very devoted to the Lord. It's interesting, and here's something I want you to remember when you say, well, what did the pastor talk about this morning? He talked about persecution of Christians. And Jesus talked about the persecution of Christians. But the interesting thing is that God links persecution with spiritual strength. In other words, believers who have been persecuted have become stronger and stronger in their faith in the Lord. Now, I want you to see this from your standpoint as a believer. James chapter 1. We've got to look at this. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter. James chapter 1. Now, watch this. This is interesting. James chapter 1. Now, when he's talking about trials here, you can say, well, you know, we all experience trials. Sometimes a person works hard at work, does their best, and there are those around them who don't do their share of the job. And that could be a real trial for you. If you're doing your best in your work, and then there's other people getting paid the same type of salary that you're paid, but they're not even doing their job, that could be a trial. Okay, there's all kinds of trials that we can experience. But James is talking about the trial of suffering because people don't understand your faith. They don't understand that all you're saying is that I believe in the one who left heaven, came here to earth, suffered and died, and rose again for me. people don't understand that sometimes. Now, notice he says, James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, that sounds paradoxical, doesn't it? You say, what's the Lord saying here? He's saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials or persecutions because of your faith in me. All right? Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. But let perseverance have its perfect work, verse 4, that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So what does he say is the result of your suffering for Christ? You are going to be strengthened. Your faith in the Lord is going to be strengthened. And this is going to allow you to continue in your relationship with God, that it becomes strong and stronger, even though there may be those who do not understand your faith and that you might be persecuted for your faith. Got to show you another verse. Don't ever forget this one. There's a link. Again, persecution brings spiritual strength. All right? Go over with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5, 10. Watch this now. Again, when he's talking about suffering, he's talking about suffering for your faith in Christ. Those around you may be of a different persuasion who do not understand. You could suffer for Christ. We may be, as a people in America, finding that the Christian faith is becoming more and more a source of opposition. We are opposed. There's hostility towards the Christian faith. Watch this carefully now. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, and that's your key phrase right there, God wants to pour His grace into your life, into the life of your family. But the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Now watch this now. After you have suffered a while, perfect or mature, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Did you notice that there's four verbs there? There's four verbs? And the result of the suffering is that you are strengthened. I saw this, really I've heard of it, but I saw it for the first time this week like never before. The church in Smyrna displayed power and purity. Jesus commends them because they endured persecution. Now quickly, go over with me to chapter 2, verse 8, where he says in Revelation chapter 2, and verse 8, where he says to them, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, to the angel, to the messenger of the church in Smyrna, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and who came to life. Obviously, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's speaking here. He's the one who gives the message to the church. The first and the last is a title, a designation found in Isaiah in the Old Testament. It's a title for God, okay? And obviously, the reference, he was dead and he came back to life, is a reference for the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you see how this is encouraging? These believers may die for their faith. Those Egyptian Christians at the hands of ISIS died for their faith. They weren't in that country in order to overthrow the government. They were there to work, in fact. However, these Christians in Smyrna, who were going to be experiencing persecution, had to understand that the one who would be by their side was the one who died and rose again. And there's a reference, there's a lot of reference. Some of you mark your Bibles. I think you should have two kinds of Bibles. One that you put marks in, and one that you don't put marks in. I don't sell Bibles, by the way. Okay? But I hear some people say, well, I don't like to mark my Bible. Well, then find another one that you don't mind marking, you know? Because there's some verses that just stand out. And a verse like, listen to this one. You've got to hear this one. John 14:19, Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. Remember now, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're born again into the family of God. What's the two things you're promised? Forgiveness of all your sins, and you're promised that you can go to heaven to be with the Lord someday. And of course, Jesus said, and I think this reference ought to be read at every funeral service. Jesus said, John 11, 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never die. You say, there's my aunt, there's my uncle, there's my mom, there's my dad. And they're dead physically, but not spiritually. You see, a Christian, when you die physically, immediately you're into the presence of the Lord. And how that transpires, of course, is spelled out in the Word of God. The angels of God take and usher your soul and spirit into the very presence of God at the time of your physical death. So let's say the verse again. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said it. I am, he said. And the one who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said, John 14, 19, because I live, you shall live also. What a comfort to these who might die because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, quickly, you'll notice he says things that Jesus knows in verse 9. He says, I know your works. And this is an encouragement. The things that you do for the Lord, he knows. He knows the works, the labors, the things that were done for him in that local assembly. And anything you do for the Lord, for God, for his glory, he knows. He knows the things that we do. Okay. In fact, obviously, he knows the things that we shouldn't do that we do. He knows the good things, and he knows the things that we shouldn't do. But the point is, in the passage, that the Lord rewards those things that are done for him and for his glory. And we really need to constantly be reminding ourselves of these things. You know, you have a faithful father, a faithful wife, a faithful mom and dad who are doing their best to raise their children to know and to love Christ. And there are no perfect parents. I haven't met one yet. If you find one, would you introduce me so I can kind of get some more things? But when you have a mom and a dad who care for their children and are doing their best to encourage their children to know the Creator of the whole heaven and earth, the one who loves us so much and gave his life for us, wow. Jesus says, I know your works. He knows the things that we do. He also said, I know your tribulation. He knows this word tribulation here in verse 9. It's referring to pressure that comes from the outside. And I've talked to some individuals say, well, you know, where I work, people know I'm a Christian. And we have to be real careful when we're Christians. We don't try to force our faith on anybody. But I know Christians who said, you know, at work, people know I'm a Christian, and it's not the easiest place for me to be. The interesting thing is here in our country today, we are told in the Word of God in Romans chapter 13 that we are to be in submission to our government. And we understand that responsibility from Romans chapter 13. All governments ultimately have been allowed or ordained by God. However, you remember in the book of Acts that Peter and the apostles were told by the public officials and religious leaders, they were told, do not teach in the name of Jesus because you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Don't do it. And then the apostles, Peter and the apostles, responded in 7 and said together, we ought to obey God rather than man. So therefore, if an edict came from our government that we should not gather together for worship here on a Sunday morning, what's he going to say next? We would have to find a place to meet, because God wants us to meet together, does he not? To worship him. And you know, some of you could volunteer your house and we'll be there. No, I volunteer my place. We ought to obey God rather than man. That's very, very vitally important. There are a lot of examples of the fact that the Lord knows the struggles that Christians go through. I jotted two down. Just listen to these real quickly. One, when a businessman loses his job because he will not lie, cheat, or improperly manipulate The Lord knows this and will reward that person for his faithfulness to the Lord. When a young teenager refuses to take drugs, get involved in sexual immorality, suffer rejection and mockery because of their faith in the Lord, the Lord knows this and will reward that believer, that teenager. He will reward that because he knows what's happening. He fully understands. He fully comprehends. Quickly, before we come to the Lord's table, Jesus also said in verse 9, if you'll notice this, he says, I know your works, the trials that you're going through, your persecutions, and your poverty. And probably these believers were poor because their goods were confiscated by those who didn't believe in the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They lost their property and possessions. Their goods may have been stolen or confiscated. And this is what can happen when a person is a believer and they're living in the context of a government that doesn't protect its people. But you'll notice that Jesus said, this is ironic, it really is. He says, I know your poverty, but you are rich. Okay, now, one of the things you're going to leave from church this morning is realizing how rich you are. You are very rich. Maybe not financially, but spiritually, you are rich. And you say, why do you say that? Well, because we have a letter to the Ephesian believers that talks about the riches of God in Christ Jesus. And when you ask Jesus to be your personal Savior, I am just going to click these off. I'm going to click these right off. You have blessings from the Father. He chose you. He adopted you. He accepted you. Blessings from the Son. He redeemed you from sin. He forgave you of your sin. He reveals His will to you. He steers you. He guides you in life. He provides for your inheritance. Believer, this morning, you may not have a family inheritance that you're looking forward to receiving, but you have a spiritual inheritance. God has reserved for you a place in heaven where you will be with Him forever and ever, and it's an awesome and glorious place, and we may see it if we ever get over to Revelation 21 and 22. We're rich in Christ. And the riches that you have in Christ are also seen in the fact of who you are in Christ. And you're going to hear more about this down the road. But let me click these off, okay? Who are you in Christ? Where you're a child of God. You're accepted in the Beloved. All these terms are in the New Testament. You are the friend of Christ. When Jesus said to the disciples, I have called you friend. I mean, they probably sat around and said, man, we never heard that in the Old Testament times, that the God of creation would call us friends. We sing that hymn together. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. You're justified. You're united with Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ. You've been adopted into the family of God. You have direct access to God. You don't have to go through a religious leader in order to talk to the Lord. You talk to the Lord wherever you are when you're driving along. Just don't close your eyes. You're secure in Christ. You're assured that ultimately all things will work together for good to those who love God. That's what we're talking about when Jesus said to them, you're rich. You're very rich. You have Jesus as your Savior. He's promised to watch over you. He did not promise, by the way, that we'd be exempt from trials or persecution. But He says to those who are persecuted, He says, I'm going to be there with you. I will be right at your side. The psalmist says, because the Lord is at my right hand, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We need to remember these kind of verses. When you look at your right hand, remember that the Lord is there. Well, people say, well, the Lord indwells me. That's true. But He wants you to remember that He's right by your side. And this is what He told the Smyrna believers. He told them, we're rich. We have spiritual riches. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So next time you start getting a little bit discouraged, please remember, you're rich in Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus told them, fear not, because some of you, here it is right here in the text, Fear not, because the devil's about to throw some of you into prison. Now, if the Lord tells us not to be afraid of something, He means it, right? I mean, the Lord's not telling us to do something we can't do without Him. We can do it with Him. Fear not, for some of you will be persecuted. You'll be thrown into prison. It's interesting that Jesus said to the disciples, fear not any of those things that are you are about to suffer. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. However, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, do not fear those who are able to kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, what Jesus is saying is, listen, don't be afraid of man. Have a proper fear of the Lord. Understand His great love for you. Understand He made provision for you not to go to that place, which is an actual place called hell. One of the most difficult concepts to understand in the Bible. There is a place called hell. Those who do not receive forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life will go to that place. And that's tough. That's difficult for people to hear. Especially in a country where that message is kind of being tamped down. But you and I know that hell is a place that the Lord created for the devil and his angels and those who reject Him. Those who reject the Lord will spend eternity in that place. But Jesus said, do not fear man, but fear God. And that fear means have a trust in Him. Believe how much He loves you and send Christ for you, for each one of us here this morning. What's our responsibility before we come to the table? Jesus said, through the Apostle Peter, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Okay, let's get it down again. Persecuted Christian is blessed. A persecuted Christian is strengthened. Okay? Do we like persecution? Do we want people to reject us? Would we want to be taken off and beheaded for our faith in Christ? Of course not. But Jesus said, this could happen because of your faith in me. So what's my responsibility? 1 Peter 3:15. There's two things in that verse. 1 Peter 2:15. He says in 2:14, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. In 3:15, he says, but set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts and be ready to give an answer. That's the two things he asks us to do. Be ready. How can I be ready? I'm ready as I worship with you, with God's people, right? We worship together. As we open the Word of God, God's Word is a tremendous source of enrichment and blessing to us. We're blessed as we read the Word of God. Be ready to give an answer. A number of weeks ago, we had a message entitled, what do you say to an atheist? Remember that one? What do you say to an atheist? You don't say, you better get with it, guy or gal. No, what do you say to an atheist? You say, you know, God loves you. He's the one that created our world. Could this world actually just happen by itself, as some people claim? You see a painting, a beautiful painting. How did that painting come to be? Well, there was an artist who painted it. I talked to an atheist about 2 years ago right here, Western Days in town. And he was an artist. And I said, you painted that, didn't you? And he said, yeah, I did. And I said, who made our world? And he didn't say anything. He listened very good, though. He gave me his name. He said, pray for me. You can talk to me. And I have been. We have an awesome God who watches over us. Christians may be persecuted for their faith in Christ, but the Lord says, I will be with you. That's why you do not need to fear. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray together.